Random thought. Mm-hmm. Taking your feelings, your personal feelings for Cardi B out of it, do you feel like the her and Megan Thee Stallion's performance of WAP at the Grammys was as egregious as people are making it seem to be, especially when you compare it to Madonna and Britney Spears back in that time, tugging each other down at the MTV Music Awards?
My personal feelings with Cardi B aside, no, I don't think it was that big a deal. And I think in America, we are very sensitive to a lot of stuff, but yet for the wrong reasons. Other countries show worse stuff on TV, on regular TV, than we do. But yet we can show all types of crime shows, murders, all types of evil things. But God forbid these two women do this kind of pole dance routine to WAP on national TV and people get upset about it. I don't see it as a big deal. I just think people are just overly sensitive to stuff, in my opinion. I think you see a whole lot worse stuff on regular TV now and even on cable. I don't see the big deal.
Well, when you say worse stuff on TV, exactly what do you mean?
So worse stuff on TV could be, and I'll just stick to regular TV. I wouldn't even go down Netflix, HBO, mm-hmm. and all those type of deals. But on regular TV, on Law & Order, you see a whole lot of different crime. You see potential sexual abuse of children. Mm-hmm. You see all these different things. And even though they're acting, it's still showing it.
Right.
I don't see that worse, or I don't see what Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion did to be worse than that.
Right.
And that's on regular TV. You can catch that at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, on USA Network, right? So for people to be that upset over these girls and their performance, I think it's just weak sauce.
I'm just trying to understand that, you know, especially the soccer moms or the suburban moms who are complaining about this. So when mommy's going to go take that pole dancing class and you're talking about their performance being a strip club performance, explain to me the difference. The fact that mommy can't work the pole as good as Cardi and Megan, and there were no poles involved. There was a huge bed. There were tiny little specks on the bed. That's them. Yeah. And I get where some of that's coming from, and you know but what they did, rather than make it so raunchy, it was like, let me give you this. Oh, no, I'm not going to show you that. And they flip over. So it kind of takes away, it kind of teases what was going to happen, and then they go away, which is what has been done in the past. And you got to think, this is not the 60s anymore, where, you know, you've got the married couple on TV sleeping in separate beds, separated by the nightstand and the lamp. You remember those?
I remember those shows.
Good night. Turn off the light on your side of the room.
Yeah, full pajamas.
Yes.
You know, fully dressed when they go to bed. Ridiculous. You know, I think these people that I think there are some people, a lot of people in this world that are comfortable with their own sexuality, mm-hmm. and comfortable being able to have conversations about sex without it being sexual, if that makes any sense. There are people who they're comfortable with it. There are certain people who aren't.
Right.
And I think it's those that aren't are the ones that clutch their pearls when they see these type of things on the Grammys. So either not comfortable with their sexuality, or my personal thought, maybe they're not getting enough at home. So a little jealousy of why they act that way. I just don't understand, like, what's the big deal? They didn't do, it's not like they stripped. You know, she took off a few pieces of clothing, but it wasn't like we've been to strip clubs. It wasn't anything like that. But it didn't leave a lot to the imagination. And so I hear a lot of people make that comment. You know, this stuff is what stays in the bedroom. And, you know, you should leave stuff to the imagination. I say bullshit. You know, express your sexuality. And if you're not comfortable with it, stop watching TV then.
You know, they've obviously also forgotten the Madonna Like a Virgin performance. Remember that one? And mm-hmm. the and the wedding dress on the stage, you know, that was a big controversy back then. And Madonna's always been one to create controversy anyway. So what's the big hoopla now is just that as everyone speaks, everyone hears. As opposed to back then, a few people spoke and people had the conversations around the water cooler. But now we have those conversations on Twitter, Instagram, yeah. and Facebook, and everybody's opinion counts. It really doesn't, but that's what everybody thinks.
Yeah, and I think that's just how it's always been that way. If you remember the song Wake Up Little Susie, mm-hmm. that was a controversial song because it was about two kids who pretty much had sex in the backseat of a car and fell asleep. And that caused a huge uproar. Now you hear it now, you're like, what's the big deal?
Right.
And then speaking of Madonna, Madonna's Like a Prayer. Yep. Oh, Christians were upset about that song. George Michael, I Want Your Sex. Like, people were upset about that. You hear it now, you're like, yeah, big deal. So hopefully we'll get to a place where we're like a lot of other countries,
yep,
where we just kind of let a lot of this stuff slide and we're not so sensitive or scared or uncomfortable with our sexuality or our lack of sex for those people that I think are complaining.
And when you speak of other countries, like the first thing that comes to mind to me is France. When I was in France, of course, on TV, the commercials, the milk commercials showed you that milk really does do the body good. first of all, let's get that out of the way. The beaches, you know, there were topless beaches, you know, and we're just, oh, I'm just laying out getting a tan. It's, you know, playing volleyball, running around. All so, you know, as a 12-year-old kid, you're like, I've got to come back to this country. Definitely. But one thing that stood out the most to me about France and just how open they were sexually with their sexuality was not just, you know, driving through Paris and you're seeing all these, you look down the side streets and it's nothing but sex shops, but actually in the newspaper, there was a cartoon, right, of a homeless guy sitting there drunk on a bench. And there's a beautiful woman sitting next to him and there's a muscular man, you know, posing. And this guy's just drinking his bottle and she's like, oh, my God, looking at the guy. And then all of a sudden he finishes his bottle. He taps on the shoulder, opens his pants, reveals his huge dick. And then she's walks off with him while the muscle bound man is still standing there posing like, wait a minute, where'd she go? And that's the cartoon section in the newspaper. Like, to hell with the muscles. As long as you got the right muscle, you're fine.
Yeah. All right, so I need to book a trip to France. Got it. Noted. As soon as the pandemic's over, I'm going to France, damn it.
Vive la France! Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having random crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Yep, because, you know, when you leave comments, you're automatically put into the Regular Guys Random Giveaway. And this month's winner, Shireen Blackett. Congratulations.
Shireen.
Reach out to us and make sure to claim your prize, and we got you.
And thanks for leaving a comment. Leaving comments can get you money, so be sure to comment.
Yes. What made you smile this week, man?
Oh, this week, you know, I got to travel for work. I haven't traveled since maybe November was like my last work trip. And so I finally got a chance to go, and it just felt good to not be in this room 5 days a week, you know, every day. It felt good to go back to the airport and get on the plane. And
right.
That whole experience. I mean, they're still not serving alcohol on the plane, so that sucks. But it just felt good to whole travel thing again. And I went to Philly and then drove out to the South Jersey area. So both areas I'd never been to before. Got a chance to see some nice things. You know, a couple nice, well, one nice restaurant. And then on St. Patrick's Day, the area I was at, there really wasn't much around. So Applebee's is where I went. Couldn't believe I was back in an Applebee's, but I didn't even look at the menu. I don't even look at the menu. I just,
give me this, I know what you got.
Yeah, but no, but it was great staff. I mean, you know, the food was good, but it brought back some memories of the 10 years I spent at Applebee's. But it just felt good to travel again. And I have another trip next week going to Boise, back to Boise, Idaho. I know we did a show one time from Boise.
Yeah.
But it just felt good to kind of travel again. It feels like you're getting, you know, we're still not close to normal, but for me, it brought back that feeling of normalcy that I've been missing ever since this pandemic and all the different struggles have happened with it. It felt a little bit normal to be back in the plane.
How were the airports when you were traveling?
It was a little more packed than back in November. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not as easy to social distance at the gate. Yeah. I think when they were on Southwest, they used to like have you lined up 10 at a time mm-hmm. first. Now it's just back to A1 through 30, A31 through 60. Everybody just lined up. You saw a lot of people at the bars. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot more, a lot of the bars and restaurants were open back up now. So people wearing masks like around the general areas, but yeah. within the restaurants and bars, they weren't. But so it was still... It's a little bit busier, I think. The lines to get through security haven't been as bad as I've ever seen them before. Right. And that's still no problem. But it's still, you can tell that more people are starting to travel.
Indeed.
The last time I traveled, the middle seat stayed open for social distancing purposes. Now it's full planes.
See, well, I'm on Delta because I'm on special assignment at the moment. And so I've been going down to Atlanta. And one of the things in that was, you know, I like how Delta's loading the plane from the back first, right? After they get past, mm-hmm. you know, military, first class and all that. And the you know, the VIP folks, the ones that spend all the money, they let them get on the plane first still. But then they go, okay, let's start from the back of the plane. And it makes sense. It actually yeah. makes sense. It stops holding up the line of people trying to get back there because other people in the front trying to get stuff together. So it makes sense. I will say this, though. I got into Atlanta last Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. And the first time I went to Atlanta was the week before that. And it was like a Tuesday. Pretty empty airport. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I heard Atlanta was wide open. Then I go back down last Sunday and I get down to the train to go between terminals. I said, this is a little more crowded than it was the last time. Then the doors open up and I swear it looked like 2019. And I went, nope, mm-hmm. we're walking. Because it was like jam packed in there. I was like, okay, y'all just... I guess it doesn't exist, you know. So it might yeah. be it might be Texas, Florida, and Atlanta.
That's, yeah, the virus is no longer in Texas, Florida, and Atlanta.
Yeah.
Everywhere else, you know, they're still social distancing, but the rest of us were good.
Yeah, exactly. For me, what made me smile this week has got to be Zack Snyder's Justice League, man. I am so glad that this finally came out. And just some... A little insight on this. For me, I was really upset with Warner Brothers for what they did with Batman v Superman. Batman v Superman was mm-hmm. supposed to be good. And had they let Zack Snyder's version of it come out, we would have been fine, right? But what they decided to do was they wanted to make it shorter, make it 2.5 hours so we can get more views in more theaters than we can get. Well, you took out some very good parts of the movie. Now, I'm not mm-hmm. saying to do the four-hour movie every time like Zack Snyder's Justice League, but what they put out for the theatrical version was garbage compared to this. You had Josh Whedon over-sexualizing Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman while Zack Snyder made her the badass woman that she is supposed to be, that she is in the comics, that she is mm-hmm. in the cartoon versions of it. So he made her that. Matter of fact, he made Gal Gadot look, Wonder Woman look so much better than Patty Jenkins did in Wonder Woman 84, because she did her no favors in Wonder Woman 84. And so I think what mm-hmm. Zack Snyder's Justice League did is really righted the wrongs of Josh Whedon and of Patty Jenkins, because they just almost tried to kill the entire DC universe. I think right now you've got fans already claiming, let's get the Zack Snyderverse back. Let's get the Snyderverse back. Because the way he has this set up for the trilogy is great. Now... Mm-hmm. You saw it. Would you have watched it in the movie theaters?
Oh, hell no. 4 hours? No, I would not. I would. There's no movie I would go see in the movie theaters mm-hmm. that's 4 hours long. I don't care if they were showing Roots on the big screen. I'm not going to go sit in the theater and watch that.
And I'm with
in
you.
The theater.
I'm with you.
Yeah. But I will say for somebody that's not a comic kid like you, I thought it was great because... Mm-hmm. You know, I felt the difference in this one. There was a lot more, if you didn't read the comics, you didn't feel lost.
Right.
Because character they told definition. A good story. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the character development, they told a much better story around that. And they actually made the superheroes really like superheroes. Because yes. in a lot of the DC movies, it's just kind of like, this is bullshit. You know, how's Lex Luthor just beating Superman like this? I don't understand. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Right. But in this version, you had Cyborg and understand why he was so badass. They did a much better introduction of the Flash.
Yes.
In this one, it reminded me of Marvel's Quicksilver when they how Marvel introduced Quicksilver. They did that with the Flash, which I thought was great. Mm-hmm. I'm still average on what's his name is Batman.
Ben Affleck. I like Ben Affleck.
No big deal. But I agree that Wonder Woman, I thought, was a true superhero. She wasn't over sexualized in this version. But the one that impressed me the most is your favorite Superman.
I'm like wearing the shirt.
This was the most badass Superman.
Yes.
That I've ever seen. And I'm like, okay, this is why he's better than every superhero.
Yes.
You know, and like they show that where the other ones like Batman versus Superman. I'm like, there's no way Batman should be beating Superman in anything
at all,
you know, at all. There was just no way. So I thought that was dumb. Mm-hmm. But in this version, Superman was like, wow, like he was amazing.
But if you go back to Batman v Superman, first of all, because I said the same thing before, and all it was, if Superman wanted to kill Batman, he could do it immediately. And he just never wanted to kill him. He said that in Batman v Superman. He was trying to reason with him until Batman started pissing him off. And he was like, well, I'm going to hurt you, but I'm not going to kill you. So if it really was, and he didn't try to really hurt him, he didn't try to break bones, because he could just rip his arms off and go, all right, now will you listen?
Yeah.
which had he done that to Black Suit Superman, yeah, he probably would have ripped his arms off. And I said, we need to help each other. Look, if you haven't seen, I don't want to give away any spoilers in this, because it really is an event. And whether you break it down into an hour at a time, 2 hours at a time, however it is, it's the way they set it up in these different parts was amazing. I like the way they did it. I did feel like the ending was not as strong as it could have been. I get what they were going for, but then when they put everything in the epilogue and didn't make like a mid credit and a post credit scene, which I get why. They go, you know what? Marvel has done that, and we don't want people to feel like we're copying them on that side, right? So I get why I get why that's the case. However, the storylines for Marvel and DC have always been parallel. Look at the superheroes. They're all the same. Batman, Iron Man, exactly the same. Thor, Superman, that's who they are, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the Flash and Quicksilver, there you go. There are parallels all around, except I don't think the Spider-Man version in DC is a bad guy. So it's interesting the different characters that they have. And of course, not going by the same name, but there are characters that are very much the same, because they were writing these comics. And if you got one, well, I'll create one like that too, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I will say, I'm just so happy to see this finally come out. And the fact that the fans were able to make it happen, because there was no way that this was going to happen, right? And it wasn't until this happened that I found out about the Richard Donner Superman and Superman 2 version of what really happened there, because like the way Superman was, the original Superman with Christopher Reeve, the way that was, that movie was in its final state, was not the way it was actually shot to be. They shot 1 and 2 almost simultaneously to try and make sure they had the continuity. But then they took the ending of 1 and put it of 2 and put it in 1, I think. It's some kind of strange way it was. So they did a couple different things in there, and it was basically same thing, studio and director. And if you're going to trust the director to come with, here, give us your vision, you know, we're going to trust you with this, do they really have the right to just go, you know, no, we want to change this completely? Because one of the things that Zack Snyder wanted to do was have Batman and Lois Lane get in a relationship when Superman died, which would have caused even more complications. But they didn't want that. They're like, no, we don't think people will want this. And, you know, they wanted more of a Marvel thing. You can't do that. Marvel's got the happy-go-lucky, let's all be happy, let's make funny jokes. If DC's going to go the dark route, let's go the dark route. And it's even like what you said about Ben Affleck. I like him as Batman because he's the next evolution of Batman. He is the older Batman. And if you ever watch the Dark Knight, that two-part series, the cartoon series, you'll see that Batman is older. He's this is years past every all the criminals, and he's just got a different side, a darker side to him, where he's whooping people's ass. Like, before he beat him up and take him to jail, no, he's breaking bones and hurting you. Like, as he is in this movie, you saw Batman v Superman, he was trying to kill people. And that's what he does in this one, too. So I was really excited about it. I am definitely watching this again and again. The first time I watched it probably about 5 different parts, because I had to go to work. Then I had to go to sleep. Then I had to wake up and watch again. And, you know, so many things that were happening that I still, but I found time to make sure I could watch it and catch it all in the first day, because otherwise I couldn't go on social media. So now I'll take the time and just watch it again.
Yeah, I had to split it up, you know, 2 hours Thursday night, 2 hours Friday night. but it was good. I mean, it has me interested. I'm still not a Aquaman fan. Mm-hmm. Don't know if I ever will be, but I thought they did a better introduction of Aquaman in this version compared to the other one. So yeah. I'm looking forward to see what they do. I mean, I kind of been done with DC for a long time because Marvel was just so awesome.
Yeah.
But now I'm excited to see what they're going to do next. I really want to watch it. I'm hoping if they do another Wonder Woman, I mean, let's Zack Snyder do Wonder Woman. I mean, because I think he gets it. Yeah. These other people that have done Wonder Woman, it's just crap.
Well, you know, so the problem is, I think, so what Marvel, and this is the genius of Marvel, and we'll get off this comic because some people are like, oh my God, stop. But but the thing with Marvel is that Kevin Feige is heading the entire universe, right? And so if he's open, mm-hmm. no matter, you've got different directors doing the different superheroes, individual movies, and different people doing the team-up movies. But if you're all under one vision, they all fit. And you pointed this mm-hmm. out. How is Wonder Woman flying in Wonder Woman 84, but yet when she's in Batman v Superman, she can't fly? And in right. Justice League, she can't fly. It makes no sense. So that just, everybody's just taking their own liberties, and it can't be that way. You know, put right. Zach at the head, let's go, and let's do this the right way. It doesn't have to be a carbon copy of Marvel, because nobody else wants another carbon copy of Marvel. Give us DC, right. and let's follow this. Because if you watch the cartoon version, it's amazing to watch. I know you don't like cartoon superhero stuff, but the DC one, the DC animated universe, might change your mind just a little bit.
Maybe.
Yeah, that means no, you're not even going to give it a thought. Whatever, man. Let's move on to the next part of the show. Your favorite guy, Ted Theodore Cruz.
Talk about Ted Cruz. Vote him out. So what happened as of recent, for those that don't remember why I have my issue with Ted Cruz, during the snowpocalypse of Austin or Texas, Ted Cruz and his family decided to go to Cancun to get away from the cold, which a lot of us would have done if we could possibly afford it to do so.
Facts.
So no issue with that. And Cancun has Wi-Fi, so he could still work. So I have no issue with him going to Cancun. My issue is he straight up lied about it and tried mm-hmm. to say that he was just being a good dad. Like, no, dude, you planned to try to get, and just say that. Yeah, I went to Cancun. My family was cold. I could afford to do it, but I have my laptop. I'm still working. He chose to lie about it. So I have issue with that. You know, all politicians lie. I get it. But when you catch them in a bold-faced lie, well, then vote him out. Now, the other reason that we're talking about Ted Cruz is Tucker Carlson had some issue with the military. And he made this comment about the military. He complained about the accommodations the military was making for pregnant service women and praising the masculinity of China's Navy. Right? Tucker Carlson, Fox News guy. And so a lot of the military took issue with what he said. A lot of military leaders, you know, expressed revulsion, you know, at the comments. So in comes Ted Cruz trying to defend Tucker Carlson and says that he's, you know, wanted to schedule a meeting with the military and launching like to confront the military on launching these attacks against Tucker Carlson and all this type of stuff. And I'm looking at that and I'm like, okay, so you're going to defend Tucker Carlson. And yet you didn't defend your wife when Donald Trump was talking shit. He made fun of you and all that stuff, and you didn't defend any of that, but you're going to defend Tucker Carlson because of comments that he made, which are horrible comments. You know, you shouldn't say, well, why is the military, you know, why are you upset with the military making accommodations for pregnant service workers? Mm. You know, that doesn't make sense. But the funny thing was a lot of other people commented. One guy said, if only Ted stood up for his wife, father, kids, and dog like he does for Tucker Carlson. And then, you know, another favorite, he defends Carlson, but not Texans. You know, no electricity, food lines, unemployment, then voted against a relief package.
Of course,
right? So Ted Cruz is, he's just a terrible person, you know, and he's an opportunist. And the other thing that pissed me off about Ted Cruz, I forgot this part. So when he comes back from Cancun, after all the media and everybody was upset with him, he comes back the next day, doesn't quarantine, goes out and takes these photo ops of putting, you know, some cases of water in people's car and talking to people, potentially could be spreading the coronavirus because he didn't quarantine from coming back from another country. Just a terrible person. So every week, vote him out.
And every week I will tell you, Texas will still vote him right back in. And you know why he's defending Tucker Carlson? Because he wants Tucker Carlson to be his champion when he makes this next run for president in the next cycle. Because that's going to be his thing. He's going to run for it again, and he's hoping that he can get Tucker Carlson to back him on this one, because it makes absolutely no sense, you know. But am I surprised? No. Am I surprised that he didn't defend his wife? No. Am I surprised that he threw his kids under the bus to try and save face? No. Nothing Ted Cruz does surprises me. If he comes out next week and says he's a Democrat, I won't be surprised, because whatever makes Ted Cruz... whatever makes him think that he's going to be in a better light, that's what he's going to do. And, you know, again, I know, and I definitely applaud you on your efforts to hashtag vote Ted out, but Texas is going to vote him right back in. And I see that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I could totally see it, but I'm still going to be vocal.
Yeah.
You got about it. And I would say it to his face. You know, if we can invite him on the show, I'd be like, Ted, you just lied. That's all I'm saying is you lied. Bold-face lie. Just be honest. Just say, yeah, I went to Cancun because it was cold and I had no power.
I love the fact that you're like, that. You're not mad at him for going to Cancun. It's just the lying about it, which is all it is. It's not about you going. It's just about the lie. Update as well, too. So Geraldine Grundy, a.k.a. The News Talk personality who I used to work with back in the day. You know, I'm giving everybody these Archie Comics references, by the way. Okay. You know, Reggie Mantle, now Geraldine Grundy. Yeah. You know, I think we're fine again now, because, you know, so she posted one of these things with I don't know if you've seen the Chair Force One meme of President Biden when he tripped up the steps going up to the steps to Air Force One, and so they had the Chair Force One with him going up the lift, the old school lift. Then you had another one with Donkey Kong, but the one she posted had Donald Trump teeing off and then the golf ball hitting him in the back of the head. And the memes are funny, right? So I like hit the laugh, and, you know, okay, cool. And then all of a sudden she's back liking some of my stuff. You know, she's never liked any of my pictures ever before, by the way. Just want to point it out. But it was it's just funny. Once, you know, if I laugh at your political joke, now we're fine. But if I disagree with you or just say something bad about the person that you want to support the most, we're not fine? Come on. Stop being so damn sensitive, you friggin' snowflakes.
Wow, that escalated quickly, because I was thinking you were like, yeah, we're good.
Oh yeah, that was a setup.
Like, okay, great, y'all are good. You know, you extended the little emoji olive branch, you know, by liking her comment, and I thought you were going to end it with, "Yeah, so we're good now." But okay,
we're still good. I can look at the end of the day. If you're going to come off and I'm supposed to be in my music lane, I'm going to come off and say that you're a snowflake, just like you like to call the right likes to call the left snowflakes. I just think it's like at the end of the day, I'm neither right nor left. I think I'm more dead set in the middle, and I'm not a fan of the extremists on the right or the extremists on the left at all. And I think it's dangerous, and America's just pushing further to the right and the left, and it's very dangerous as to what's happening, because the middleman is left out, and you can't, if you're on the right and you're not all the way right, now they want to ostracize you too. Same thing on the left. Mm-hmm. If you're not all the way left, they want to ostracize you. So the middle, this could be a good thing, actually, because that third party could be what's in the middle. And I'll tell you something, that third party would win, because I believe, in all honesty, there are more people in the middle who understand, I like this. I'm not completely as batshit crazy as these people over here, and I'm not as batshit crazy as these people over here. And that third party could be what takes this country to the next level. So we'll see.
Well, yeah, and I think politics has always been that way, if you really think about it. And it depends on, you know, who's in office. When you have a Republican president, you start to see a lot more policies and laws getting passed that lean more towards the right. Mm-hmm. When you have a Democrat in the office, you see a lot more things that lean towards the left. And it just constantly goes back and forth over time. But I do think we're at a place now where people are very extreme in their political beliefs. And to the point, if you don't agree 100% with what I think, then you're wrong. And that's not the case. There's some things that I could say I'm conservative about. There's certain things I could say I'm very liberal about.
Exactly.
But to be all the way one or the other, or to say that because you don't agree with every one of these bullet points that I strongly believe in, then you're wrong, right? And I think that's just what happens. And I don't see it getting any better.
Nope.
But I think it's gonna get worse. And you got these people that are these political Facebook analysts that, you know, I saw this story on Facebook and I'm sharing it and this is real.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, how I feel about it, whatever. Like, you're gonna see a whole lot more of that. Just with social media. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully people will, you know, research, do their own research, not just depend on what they're hearing on CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Parler, whatever. You know, I think they have to do your own research. And hopefully more people will do that. I don't see it. There's a lot of people who are just there's a lot of uneducated folks. If you look at when they start interviewing people out in, you know, Georgia and some of those areas that just believe this stuff, that's just bullshit.
Yeah.
But they just believe it because, you know, someone told them that or Donald Trump said it, thus this is true. You're going to see a lot more of that, unfortunately.
Perfect example of a lot of the nonsense is the cancel culture, which, Republicans are against cancel culture, yet they cancel cultured Colin Kaepernick. You know, so it's both ways, and you can't, it's on both sides, and I don't think everybody's so busy throwing stones, they don't realize that they're throwing them at themselves. And at some point, we got to get past that. You know, as we get to For the Love of Sports, big moment this week in the NCAA tournament. So NCAA tournament was off last year, obviously, because of COVID and quarantine. Back this year, they put them in the bubble. And they had two HBCUs that made it to the dance that won, because now they have the first four team, right? You know, they've got the final four. Now they got the first four. The first four are play-in games to see if you can make it to the field of 64. You had Norfolk State and who beat, I think, Mount St. Mary. And then you had Texas Southern who, let's see, who did they beat? I forgot who Texas Southern beat. But they beat the Texas Southern beat the Mountaineers from Mount St. Mary University, and Norfolk State beat Appalachian State, right? So they made it, and you got two HBCUs, the only two in the tournament, but it's the first time you had two HBCUs in the tournament, one from the MEAC, one from the SWAC, both in there at the same time. So big thing, great celebration, and then the weekend hit, and the round of 64 started. And
they're both out.
And so Texas Southern had to play Michigan, number one seed Michigan Wolverines. They lost by less than 20, so it was competitive. Norfolk State, unfortunately, had to play the number one seed Gonzaga, and they lost by 43. So at least they had a moment to shine.
But I think it's great when these teams are able to make it to the tournament. Mm-hmm. It's exposure for those schools.
And money.
And it's national exposure for those schools and the money, but also national exposure where students get to, or let's say high school kids might not have heard of these schools.
Yeah.
And they want to go, you know, so it's exciting. I think that's the exciting thing about March Madness compared to college football. You know, with college football, if you're University of Alaska and you have a team that goes undefeated, you will never make it to the playoffs.
Right.
You never will, ever. Nothing will ever, unless you annihilated every team by like 30, 40 points, maybe you could be in a good bowl game.
Yeah, a good bowl game.
You're never going to get there, right? Mm-hmm. And because of that, students don't, you know, high school kids don't hear about University of Alaska and maybe what their program could be. They hear about the Alabamas, the LSUs, Texas, you know, big name schools, Notre Dame. But with the March Madness and NCAA basketball, you know, we wouldn't know who Butler was. Mm-hmm. I never heard of Butler until they made it into the dance.
Yeah.
You know, right? And almost won, right? And they were in it 2 years, right? So, you know, NCAA basketball March Madness gives these schools that opportunity for that type of exposure. So, you know, congrats to the HBCUs for even making it to the tournament. Even though they got out first round, just to make it to this is an accomplishment.
Exactly. It really is. And, you know, Chancellor of University of Alaska, Sarah Palin, says it's okay because we will make it. We've got soccer moms and we will do this anyway. So we will make it to the football championship.
Maybe they can like recruit some top talent high school kids from Russia since she can see those from her house.
It's so funny how that has always stayed with her when she never actually said that. But we're going to run with it. Why? Because people run with falsities all the time anyway. What's not false though is this other thing, and you brought it to my attention as well, is this disparity between the men's facilities and accommodations and the women's in this NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. Tell me about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your camera went out. So
oh, my bad.
Yeah. So I just.
Oh, you can't see me.
Go ahead. So the coach of Stanford took a picture of the gym facility. So as these players are kind of in the bubble, they have like 9 different practice courts that they can use. And then they have this gym facility. Well, the men's gym facility looked like a true gym, all different type of weights, everything that you could possibly want in a gym to work out. The women's facility
had kitchen utensils,
had a set of dumbbells. I think the highest was maybe like 30 pounds.
Yeah.
And it had some floor mats for yoga and stretching, because that's all women athletes do, right? They don't lift weights and do anything else, right? And so it was pretty ridiculous that they had that. And so the coach put that picture up to show the difference. Mm-hmm. Now, to NCAA's defense, overnight, now the women have a full gym now. Up to 50-pound weights, full workout equipment, which is true. Like, it made no sense to me. Like, why would you set up 2 different gyms? Why not just make them the exact same? You know, that made no sense that you just throw this little small set of dumbbells and some yoga mats. There you go. Ladies, you're good. Guys, you get all this other stuff. Women like to lift. You know, a lot of women lift some heavy things. A lot of those players are in way better shape than you and I combined. Mm-hmm. And they did it by lifting more than just 20-pound dumbbells. So give them the full equipment. So I'm glad that the NCAA responded quickly. And hopefully this won't ever happen again.
We need to look in the fine print and see who got fired recently for that, because that's somebody who was out of touch. And just went, yeah, well, we just give them some yoga mats and some weight, and they're out of touch as far as what athletes really need. And just went, oh, well, they're women; they can just do this, you know. And it's the disparity is it's wild. I've heard people say that, you know, maybe, well, you shouldn't be lifting weights during the tournament anyway. But again, like you said, they lift a lot more than we do, and yeah. If this is the routine that you have, they're gonna work out. They're gonna have to work out. And they just, even the way it was set up, are you surprised by it? No. Look at it and we go, this is crazy. The men are not gonna use all those weights at any point. They're not going to. They're not gonna use the heaviest that's there. They're not gonna use everything. They're gonna work out, get their thing in, and still go get the practice and then get ready for the next game. But the fact that they actually had the nerve to set it up in that manner is ridiculous, but yet, unfortunately, it's not surprising at all.
No, I mean, not surprising.
You think about the men's and women's U.S. soccer team. The women's soccer team wins way more than the men do.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they're severely underpaid compared to the men. The men haven't won jack. They barely win games. Women win tournaments and World Cups. And the men are like, well, we showed up. Give us our participation checks, which are a lot more than the winning checks for the women. It's ridiculous.
It is. It is. And something else that's been floating around is the comparison of Sue Bird to LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So those that don't know Sue Bird, she plays for the Seattle Storm. She's a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been 17 years in the WNBA. LeBron, 17 years in the NBA. She's won 4 championships. LeBron's won 4 championships. And she makes $215,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, LeBron makes crazy money.
$215 million a year.
Is a lot of people are saying that, you know, we need to have equality, which we do. But Sue Bird was on About Last Night podcast, and I love her explanation of what she's really wanting. And she's saying that when we say we want equality, we're not saying that we should be making the exact same money as the men. She goes, but what we should be getting is the same type of exposure, same type of media coverage, same type of sponsorships. And then that way they can build this business. Mm-hmm. And when it's equally as good as what the NBA has, then we want to ask for more money. And I'm like, that makes a lot more sense than to just say, hey, she should be making what LeBron's making, because no. And the reality of the situation is, in my opinion, not enough women support support WNBA.
Right.
You know, guys, we don't really support it, partly because we like to see dunks. We like to see the aggression, right, in basketball. A lot of the women's games, even like NCAA tournament, is it Stanford and like UConn? I love watching them battle. But a lot of women don't support the WNBA. If they did and they bought more tickets and actually went to the games, then they would get more media coverage, then they would get more sponsorship. But you're not going to get a bunch of sponsorship if you don't have fans in the stadium. And so I think that's the push. I think more women need to support the WNBA. And then if more women support the WNBA, guess what happens? More men are going to support it because we want to go where women are. And so if we know there's a lot of women at this game, guys are going to start going, hey, let's go check out the Seattle Storm. You know, like WNBA, like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of women there. Okay, I guess we can go check it out. That's how men work, right? Put women in a certain spot, all of a sudden men are going to start showing up. And so you start to get more fans and more ticket sales. I think that's how they get the sponsorship and all the different things that go with that. So, yeah, there definitely is a gap there. But I think the gap can be closed if more women supported the sport.
You know, the thing about it, this argument, WNBA, NBA argument has gone on and on for years. And I remember seeing a couple years ago, guy who on Twitter, obviously a guy said this. And he's like, well, if they want more people to watch the WNBA, they should stop having the players dress like men, you know, the baggy shorts. And I'm like, so what do you want to do, dress like volleyball players? Because you're not watching volleyball either.
Yeah.
Now, if you want more women interested in WNBA, then the WNBA players probably need to trick some of these women like the NBA ball players do.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally. I don't want to see women dress less, you know, for the sport. Like, right. I don't agree with that. Is it, what's that football where you got the women in the bikinis and they have shoulder pads and helmets?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's stupid. I don't think that makes any sense. It's not safe, in my opinion. If women want to play football, dress like, you know, in the full football uniform for safety reasons.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in a bikini for me to watch it.
Yeah.
And even that doesn't get a whole lot of airplay.
No.
Right. But
just for the horn dogs.
Again, it doesn't get a whole lot of airplay for that. So I don't want to see them dress less. And I think the level of talent is there. If you look at WNBA when it first started to where it is now, the talent level is different. There are some ballers. There's some women ballers in college that you're just like, oh my goodness, you know, and you just love watching them. But we need to get more people to support it and watch it. And I still don't really watch it, but I haven't kept up with a lot of NBA either. But I think there's a lot more energy into the NBA because of the amount of money it brings. And so if the women can get that fan base up and get more people to pay attention to it, then they'll start getting that sponsorship and the money that they well deserve.
Yep, you know, and that's facts. It's just the same thing with soccer, as it's called here, and football everywhere else in the world. Biggest sport in the world, you know, football and cricket, two sports that America doesn't really play very well. I mean, you watch MLS and realize that when you watch the World Cup, oh, these guys are really good. Like, you kick a ball across the pitch and actually curve it all the way back, which you watch MLS and you're like, yeah, never mind. So that's kind of like what it's like. And not to downplay what the women are doing in WNBA, but if you're not a fundamentalist, if you're just one of those drive-by fans of basketball and you're not about the fundamentals, then you're not going to be a fan of the WNBA because, the WNBA and women's basketball is a lot more fundamental than the guys. The guys is a lot flashier, and that's what people like. That gets the casual fans. But the hardcore fans will actually watch the WNBA because the fundamentals are there. Pass the ball around until you get the actual shot. You know, don't stand still if you don't have the ball. You know, keep moving. All these things that I have absolutely no idea because I really don't follow basketball a whole lot until it gets to the NBA playoffs and the finals probably. But at the same time, that's what makes people. So I'm the perfect example of somebody who's not going to sit there and watch the WNBA, but I also don't watch the NBA until it gets to the finals. And we figure out, okay, who can I root against now? Let's see. Is it going to be LeBron this time?
Yeah, because I don't even watch college basketball until March Madness.
Yep.
Outside of that, I don't pay attention to it, you know, at all. But, you know, I agree. I think to get the fan base up, it's going to be a lot more exciting for them. And I think it's disappointing because I think if women are going to argue about the pay equality gap, but they don't even watch the sport, well, then you're the problem.
Yep, indeed. If you're going to complain, have a solution and sit down and watch the games, damn it. How about that?
go buy some jerseys. You know, do something.
Stop stealing your man's jerseys. Buy your own. Greatest marketing strategy ever of the NFL. You know, keep your jersey. I got my own. There's been a lot of bullshit out there this week, and one of the things you were showing me was about this. Was it Georgetown professor? What's going on there?
Yeah, so Georgetown law negotiations professor Sandra Sellers is no longer a professor. She's been there for, God, I think she was there for like 20 years. Mm-hmm. But she was on a Zoom call, and I'm curious to know how this got leaked. And I think it's the person she was on the call with, David Batson. But she was on the Zoom call, and she was making this, I think they were talking about just the quality of the students. They don't give you a whole lot of what the conversation that led up to this point.
Right.
But she made this comment that says, I hate to say this, I end up having this angst every semester that a lot of my lower ones are blacks. She goes, happens almost every semester. You know, you get some really good ones, but there are also usually some that are just plain at the bottom, and it drives me crazy. So that's the comment that she made. So, of course, that caused a huge uproar. But when I saw this, I was like, okay, is what she's saying racist? You know, I don't, and again, I don't know the story that he had before that. But if you're making a comment that I'm noticing a lot of my students, a lot of the ones that struggle the most are blacks, that could just be a fact.
An observation, right? Goddammit.
Yeah, just an observation. She's not sitting there going, God damn it, I have these damn blacks in my class, you know, or every semester I get at least three blacks in my class and I can't stand it. I don't think she was saying that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd have to know the whole context around it. Now, again, was that smart of her to say that? Again, being a law professor and you're on a video call, like, that's the crazy thing to me is I don't say anything stupid on video. Even when you and I are recording our podcast, you know, we chat a little bit beforehand and I might say some stuff, but I know that the little record icon isn't on. And so I feel safe, you know, but when I see that recording icon up there, I'm not going to say anything stupid.
But I'm recording on my phone.
You know, but I have a lot of trust. But if I'm on a call, like a work call, you just never know.
Yeah.
Right. So I don't, it was a dumb thing for her to say, but I really don't think that she was racist. She was just making an observation. I don't know. What did you think?
Maybe I'm stupid because I don't even think it's a dumb thing to say because I'm not understanding what was wrong. I don't hear what's wrong. And this is where I like having conversations with people who will tell me what's wrong, because if I don't see what's wrong, make me see it. But here's the problem I have with what's going on here. This is exactly when people go, how on earth did America vote Donald Trump president? This is how. When people feel they have to bite their tongue, and this is why people relate to him. He was able to go out and say whatever the hell he wanted, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that case, then they go, oh, well, somebody is finally saying what I can't say because I can't say anything. And that's why when they were like, oh, this is gonna you know, derail his campaign. Nope, it just made it stronger every single time. And he knew that. He understood that because he understood this whole cancel culture crap is killing it. Are we going too far with it? Yes. Are there some people that need to be canceled? Yes. But remember, there's a story that we were told when we were kids about the boy who cried wolf. Mm-hmm. And if we keep crying wolf, when the real situation comes up, nobody's going to listen because you kept crying wolf for bullshit. This was not one of those. If the only thing I heard that she said wrong, and I've heard other people say it, and nobody seems to get in an uproar about it, it's the blacks.
Right.
I hate that. I hate that. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I hate when somebody goes, well, the blacks. I mean, who the fuck are the blacks? I know Jack Black. Are you talking about his family? Yeah. You talking about Jack Black and his family? Because, yes, those are the blacks.
Yeah, totally. You know, and I think there was a lot of comfortability with who she was having this conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious why she got fired, but he didn't. And it probably goes back to the fact that he has a penis, right? And so he was part of the conversation and he didn't like correct her. So silence is acceptance. But I agree with you. I hate when people say, you know, the blacks or ask you to speak on behalf of the blacks, you know, to, you know, Terrell, what do you think black people think about this? I can't speak for all black people. I don't know. Haven't talked to them. I haven't been to a meeting in a while. So I don't know what all of them think. Mm-hmm. But when you make those comments like that, I don't say, well, the whites do this. And
exactly.
And the blacks do this. And then the browns or the Hispanics. I don't like that type of language. But I do think that, again, I think people are a little too woke and need to let some stuff
need to go to sleep.
Not racism,
but a little bit.
Everything is not an issue, mm-hmm. and save it for the stuff that's a real issue. This Facts. To me isn't bad. It'd be one thing if she was failing black students.
Now that's my next question,
and that she was like failing more black students than she was white students. That's totally different, you know. But I don't think that, at least in the story, that's not the case. And I think the only reason they fired her is because people got into an uproar and it created a social media nightmare. And that's the problem. It's like a lot of people are doing that. It's easier to cut bait.
Yeah.
Than it is to actually have a conversation and be like, hey guys, she wasn't being racist. You know, here's what she done. And you know, historically, here's what she's done for African-American students in the past. She's worked late. She's done this. She's, you know, helped these people graduate, become great lawyers. If a lot more of her previous students that were African-American maybe spoke on her behalf, mm-hmm. you know, maybe she wouldn't have lost her job. But I just think that's what this whole, you know, cancel culture creates. When people get upset and creates a social media nightmare, then we just get rid of the person rather than have the conversation.
And maybe that's the part we don't know. Maybe she has been harder on black students than and we don't know about it. And maybe she gives them a harder time, which, again, the thing about it is I hate when people in classroom settings feel this white guilt and decide to baby black students instead, right? I hate that more than anything else, because I think that's worse. That's counterproductive. You're passing somebody on as opposed to teaching them how to get to make it work. Because yes, everybody's not coming from the same background, so some people may have a different way of thinking and may have different work ethic and different mind thoughts. So it's a matter of getting everybody on the page, or at least elevating them to the next level mentally, right? And I go back to when my mom, when we first came to the States, my mom was working on her graduate degree, right? And Austin Peay State University in Clarksville, Tennessee. she's in class in the program, the journalism program, and it's two black students, her and this one other person. And the other person says, well, they're not going to give me an A anyway, so why even try? And she's like, no. If they're going to give anybody an A, they're going to start with my paper, and they're going to have to grade on a curve to give those other people that they want to give an A to. They're going to have to grade on a curve, so therefore it'll pull everybody else up. But they're going to start with mine. I'm going to be the standard. And that's the way it has to be. It's we love to talk, and I say we as we the blacks. see what I did there, right? We love to talk and have this conversation about, you know, we know about going to the plantation. You know, these are words that we use all the time. We got to go on the plantation or whatever. Or we know we got to work twice as hard to get the same amount. Well, are you willing to put in the work though? Because you as much as you've elevated throughout your career, you didn't do it by going, well, they're not going to promote me because, you know, I'm black. They're going to promote the white guy first and the white woman first. Yeah. And I'm going to be the afterthought, or I'll be the EEOC and they'll at least interview me. But no, you go and you put your best foot forward and they have no choice but to. And that's the kind of mentality that we need to have and we need to encourage. And that's why I hate lackadaisical ways of thinking. You have a great idea. Good. But until you put it into action, that's all it is. It's an idea. Right. It's a dream. It's not even, it really isn't even an idea. It's a dream until you put some planning behind it. Now you have an idea. Once you get the planning and now you put some action to it, now you start having something. But until then, it's like we talked about this podcast and it's like, let's just do it. It wasn't about, well, you know, maybe when this opens up and we're able to sit down in the same room. No, let's friggin' make this work. We tried Zoom. That shit was horrible sound and horrible video. We're like, fuck that. We went to the next thing. And we went to the next thing. Then we went to StreamYard. And we tried so many different things till we get the sound that we want and the video that we want to get the product that we want. And we're still not at the level that we want to be, but we will get there because we never stop trying. And we can't. So I know I'm just went off on, you know, 485 on my own on this one. But at the same time, I just or 410. Let's go back to San Antonio. but the reasoning is because I think that this was an unnecessary battle that we didn't need to fight. What she said wasn't wrong.
Right, I agree, and I think to your point, you know, when we talk about equality, I don't want to be treated different because I'm black. Just treat me the same as you treat everybody else.
Yep.
Right. And I think everybody should be that way. To me, if you grew up with a single parent family, you know, you were homeless as a kid, don't treat them any different. You know, treat them the same way you treat anybody. And if we just focus on treating everybody the same, then we wouldn't have to worry about this issue. And again, to your point, we don't know. Maybe they did an investigation and maybe she's been failing black students. But I just don't think this comment and the way this whole thing went, just what I've seen, I don't think that warrants her being fired. And I think we're just a little overly sensitive on things related to race. And it's a problem. And I wish I could see that it getting better. I think all of the events that happened in 2020 really shed a lot of light on some things, but everything is not racism, in my opinion. And I don't think this was a situation where this is a racist professor.
We don't know. Maybe she was like Amy Cooper and called the cops on a student for you know, arguing about a grade.
For being in her class.
I've got a black student in my class.
Yeah.
I feel threatened.
Yeah. 911, what's your emergency? The blacks.
They're in my class again. God damn it.
It's like Poltergeist. They're here.
Oh my God.
Now, I love this other bullshit because, you know, there was a lot of talk around 2020 around election fraud.
Mm-hmm.
And we have finally found proof that election fraud did in fact happen.
So the Republicans were right, is what you're saying.
Yes, there was election fraud that happened this past October. Right. And we're able to call it out. The problem is it deals with the homecoming queen of a high school. So this story is, God, I just can't believe how crazy this story has gotten. So this is in Florida, of course.
Of course.
Because it's Florida. But a Florida woman and her 17-year-old daughter have been charged with rigging a homecoming queen election by illegally assessing confidential student records. So what happens is the mom, Laura Rose Carroll, she is the assistant principal of the school. And the school uses this tool called, what's the high school name? Oh, it's Bellevue Elementary School.
Oh, wait, this is an elementary school?
No. Oh, okay. She was an assistant principal at Bellevue Elementary School.
Okay.
But but this is at Tate High School.
Okay.
Is where this happened at. So the school uses this product called Election Runner. And so that's what the students use for different type of polls or whatever.
Progressive.
And for students to access it, you know, they can access their grades through some of these tools. Mm-hmm. Now, as assistant principal, she has access to everybody's information.
Okay, now it makes sense. So, okay, go ahead.
So this is Tate High School. They had start voting on October 28 to vote for the homecoming court for 2020. And they used this tool called Election Runner. And so Election Runner contacted the school to alert them that more than 100 votes all originated from the same IP address. And so what they found is that the mom and the daughter went into this program and did 246 fraudulent votes for her daughter to win homecoming court. Now the students have said that they've known the daughter has had access to this information because anytime they wanted to find out stuff about grades or whatever, she would like look it up and tell it to them.
Oh, wow.
So the daughter was using her mom's stuff, but also the mom participated in it. So the mom got arrested. The daughter gets expelled from school and sent to juvie. So mom post bond. I mean, whole lot of problems in that household. Ooh. But it just goes to show there was election fraud in 2020. And now we have proof.
And that means that, let's see here, if I can get this. Let me get this right here. Sounds. There we go. And congratulations. Congratulations. Republicans were right. You have the election fraud you spoke about.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So it's a crazy story, but I guess, you know, the things you do for your children, I guess, right? I don't know.
You know, here's the thing about this. It's 2021. You should know by now that people will figure this out. And it's easy to investigate and see it. I can understand when this happened. So I had a website back in the 2000s, ydrb.net, right? YanniTheRootBoy.net. And I remember I had the message board up. And people would leave comments. And somebody had posted a picture. And then there were comments. I got a call like, hey, you know, can you take down these comments that are up there? People are saying bad things about my picture. And I go up and I look at it and go, all right. So, why would somebody say that? So I go into the back end to delete the comment. And I notice, wait a minute. The IP address for the picture and the comments are the same. So these are things that are there regardless. There's a fingerprint. There's a footprint. Whenever you go online, you know, it's there. And it's surprising the mom didn't figure it out. Well, okay, not surprising she didn't figure it out. But you should know by 2021, you can't go try to commit this kind of fraud and think it's going to happen. Yes, it's only for a homecoming court. But look what it did. It landed you in jail and your daughter in juvie. Now, granted, her juvenile record will be wiped clean. And of course, it's going to be, you know, chalked up to, oh, just childish things, as opposed to if it was some other people, it would probably be, well, you know, they're just a bad seed. So this is going to be not follow her, besides the fact that people, because people are going to forget about this. By next month, people are going to forget about it. But again, the things you do for your kids.
Not at that high school, they won't.
Touché.
We will forget about it.
Touché.
In that town, that high school, they'll never forget.
But she moves away, goes to Dakota, Idaho, one of those places. Nobody's going to care.
Yeah. Like, why'd you get fired from your last job? We'll see what it happened was. I love my daughter so much.
Yeah, because mom's now without a job.
Daughter can get into another school and graduate high school and go on to college.
Yep.
You know, but for this mom as an assistant principal, and you work hard to get to that level, like, why would you piss all that away? For this dumb reason, it's not worth it.
Stop trying to be friends with your kids. Parent them, goddammit.
Yeah, that is just crazy to me.
Like, I'm a ride or die for my daughter, dammit.
I'd do anything for my kids. Okay, lose your career? Yeah. Sure.
Go ahead.
Go ahead and do that. Go to jail, get a record. Yeah, go for it.
Exactly.
All over homecoming court. You know, it's just stupid.
Real stupid. But
Florida's gonna Florida, right?
Indeed. Just like the Bachelor's gonna Bachelor. This, and we can put this under this bullshit as we Bachelor's finally over and got to watch the whole thing. We made a commitment, watched it through. How do you feel after watching The Bachelor?
So I still hate reality TV. Mm-hmm. But I get why people get into it. I think it was an interesting show because of the kind of the race factor behind it and what happened with the one that he picked and the antebellum party pictures that came up and Emmanuel Acho and the After the Rose deal. All that was interesting, but I still hate the show because I think I just don't understand what makes these smart, talented women go on these shows to do this stupid shit for love, right? I just don't get it. And then more women watch it than anything. And I think more women watch The Bachelor than watch WNBA. Maybe if they did, WNBA would have some sponsorship. Bachelor's making a ton of money.
Right? Facts.
I mean, it was interesting to watch. I see why people get into it, but I still don't support it. I think it's stupid.
I will say that I'm not a fan of The Bachelor, never have been, and watching this just kind of, you know, solidified why. I just thought it was going to be pretty boring, which it was. I think you got into it a lot more than I did throughout, but I watch reality TV, so this one to me was really tame. You haven't watched reality TV since Flavor of Love days, and then they started to Rock and Love You, like, the hell with this, you know, and I Love New York and all that other crap. I still watch reality TV because of the profession I'm in, and, you know, we got to keep up with what's happening. I don't watch all of it, but I watch quite a bit of it. I will say, though, in the end, and which we didn't get to talk about the After the Rose because we're actually recording our finale recap during the After the Rose ceremony. And a question from me to you on this is, how did you feel about Matt James? I know you predicted it, that he wasn't going to stick with her. But how do you feel about the fact that he picked her and then chose not to to stick with her because he didn't want to be caught in the blast zone of her of the backlash she was getting.
I don't think he had much of a choice, right? Because something so public as those pictures that came up of her and the things that she liked, I think as black men, we would look at him with side eye, like, dude, are you serious? Like, you're okay with that?
No, right? I'm looking at him sideways because he sent Bree home, damn it. I'm looking at him with a side eye because he sent Bree home. You idiot. You had all the way to the end and you let her go. You jackass. She gave up her job for you. My bad. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, he did. But still, shout out to Serena P. If you're ever in Austin, Texas, we should hang out.
Yeah, she's not going to call you. She's
learn about Canada. Eh? But I think he had no choice but to have to break up with her. I think Matt James is really just a good dude. Mm-hmm. Overall, you know, he might not have game. He kisses with his eyes open, but he's a good guy. And I think you could tell that he was really hurt or impacted by what the comments and stuff that she said. But yeah. I don't think he had a choice to stay with her, because if he did, everyone's going to keep asking about that.
Yeah.
I would, you know, I'd be like, dude, seriously? You know, so, you know, I thought Emmanuel Acho did a good job of addressing that, talking to Rachel specifically and like putting her on the hot seat and asking the right questions better than a Chris Harrison would have done. So I think that's what made the After the Rose good, was more Emmanuel Acho than it was Matt James and the ladies.
I think Matt James was put in a no-win situation because, and it's in today's world, it's the no-win situation of being the first black person to whatever. No, dot, dot, dot. First black person to be the Bachelor. And what happens is some people say he's not black enough. But if he was if it was his brother, they would have been like, oh, he's too black. And of course they would pick somebody like this. But it's Matt James this time. And of course they pick the safe black guy. And it's like, it doesn't make him any less black. So he's got to do what he's got to do and be true to him. He was very vulnerable in the very beginning. Hey, I'm nervous, but I'm really nervous about this. He told all the women that. And at first I'm like, why would you keep saying that? Like, stop it. But I think that he showed his strength as he went through the season, and the fact that he did things where we would beat around the bush to break up with somebody or just ghosting somebody, you know. Instead, he was like, let me walk you out. You know, we learned that's the quick way to get out. Let me walk you out, you know. There were a couple of things that we did learn about this. You know, instead of trying to come up with a clever way to go, hey, let's take it to the room. He's like, you want to get out of here? You know, I mean, yeah. I don't need to take notes anymore. But I mean, you know, if I was young, I'd be taking notes like, God damn, that shit actually works. And then go try it and realize it doesn't. But whatever. I think at the end of the day, he was put in a situation where he had no choice but to be true to himself and just be him regardless. It doesn't matter. He could have been perfect for anybody. He could have picked the exact person everybody wanted him to pick, and people would have still found a reason to throw hate his way. So good job, Matt James. Good job, Terrell, and sticking to your commitment of watching The Bachelor only when they had a black bachelor. You know, I will still say F you for making me watch this with you. And so the payback is coming in the next episode, the next season of Married at First Sight. We got to watch that one.
Oh, man, when that season comes out, I'm not going to have access to cable anymore. And I tell you,
that's OK. I know people who've got the cheat codes. I know people.
Yeah, sorry. I've given up all TV for for religious reasons. So can't.
For anti-religious reasons, I've decided to not watch TV anymore.
Too much nudity, too much WAP going on. After the Grammys, I've decided, like, I'm no more TV.
After watching 4 hours of Zack Snyder's Justice League, I'm done with TV. I had my fill for 2021.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. We'll revisit this conversation again.
Yeah. No, we definitely will. But thank you for watching it with me. I appreciate that.
Hey, we ride together.
Die together.
Bad boys for life. You ready to get out of here, man?
Yeah, let's do it. We're recording early. I'm on the water.
Yeah, well, since today, I got a flight, I got water too.
too early for whiskey right now.
It's never too early for whiskey, but I will say I'm not the person that likes to fly, to drink and fly, right? So I've never been that person. I don't drink and sit still. I've got to be doing something. So, and I still got an hour to drive to get to the airport. So therefore, I'm definitely not going to do the whiskey now before we go. So as we do this Mother Nature champagne, it's good quality H2O. Let's toast to WAP, which I had a hard time opening before. And apparently people had a problem watching it on the Grammys.
Yeah, apparently so.
I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, be sure to like, leave a comment, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.